Okay, so the topic today is 14 proven ways to improve your communication skills. I love this kind of topic, and Lydia found a good article. She said, I think this is perfect for what we need to be sharing this morning, so I rely on her, and I read the article, and I've outlined it for you in the call today. So let me just give you some insight in terms of each one of the topics so that you're going to be a better communicator, because why do we need to be great communicators? Number one, because the most important aspect of our life is how we connect with people, right? We're called to connect. We're called to be connectors. And if we're poor connectors, we're going to basically have a lesser quality of life than if we're great connectors. So, you know, people are what make the world go round. Having a great association, a great, you know, numbers of people around us, friends, fellowship, people we contribute to in life, and get, you know, there's so much fulfillment both ways. What people contribute to us, what we contribute to them. It's just awesome to have a great panoply of people around you. And I say that meaning every bit of it. I just love the people in my life. I love my Manitech associate friends and family. They're just awesome. I have church family. I have my foundation. I have a couple of businesses that I'm doing also outside of Manitech. I mean, and my neighbors and my, I mean, it's just, they're everywhere. Foundation, my travels, my evangelism work. It's overwhelming, all the love that just seeps through all of that and supports you as a person. If you don't have that connectiveness and you don't have that, network marketing is one of the greatest places to start, because in reality, that's what our business is. It's about connecting. So let's be great in our verbal and nonverbal communication to be the greatest connectors out there and develop for us the greatest fulfillment that we're going to find in our life, which is connection. So let's go through the 14 ways to improve your communication skills. The first one talks about learning the basics of nonverbal communications, right? And there's plenty of nonverbal communications that go on for all of us. I mean, whether it's your facial expression, your posture, you know, all these things, what you're wearing, how your hair looks, you know, I mean, we communicate in every way, shape, or form, because people look at us and evaluate us and make determinations about us. Hello?
Are you recording this? I'm sorry to
interrupt. Yes, it is being recorded.
I missed that. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Yeah, Lydia got it right before we started. So anyway, all these facial, all these aspects of nonverbal communication that take place that we have to look at ourselves and say, well, I know what words are coming out of my mouth, but what other ways am I communicating? Your eyes are an incredible. I mean, they talk about it being the pathway to the soul. There's a reason for that. Because, you know, if you're out there, you know, your nonverbal communication is, do you have a smile on your face? And that doesn't mean being phony smile. It just means, are you pleasant? Are you happy? Are you content? Do you show a sign of contentedness and a kind of sense of knowingness? And that's what people, wow, they'll connect with you more frequently and more deeply when they feel like you have that heart of gold and that openness and readiness to be a part and contribute back in their lives, that you're not all about you, but you're really truly there to support them. So there's all that nonverbal communication that goes on. And they say that one study that was done showed that nonverbal communication accounted for 55% of how an audience perceives a presenter. So it's more important than verbal. So get that really straight when you're talking about that. I hope you guys can't hear that. Oh, good. We have people working in the yard outside, and it's a lot of racket behind me, and Lydia promises me you can't hear it. Anyway, so look at that posture. What's your posture? You want to avoid slouching, folding your arms, making yourself, because what happens when you fold your arms? That means you're closed. You are closed. So you always want to have palms open and your arms out on your side and palms open. That is a sense of openness to people. So you don't want to make yourself appear smaller than, you know, I mean, I guess if you're really tall, you want to kind of, you don't want to be overpowering to people. But you don't want to make yourself smaller than who you are by slouching or folding your arms or closing yourself up, because that just means you're not interested. People read the subconscious reads so much into just what you look like. Your conscious isn't even making that decision. It's your subconscious. So you want to make sure that you look inviting and open and honest and willing to help. Tone of voice is very important so that you're not just like hammering away at people. You know, it's about, you know, does this person really have a heart to help? Is this person really looking to support me? What can I learn from her? You know, this is what you want to do. And if you're given space on a stage, you want to make sure you use the space, because some people, they'll get put on a big stage and they'll stand in one spot, and that's very, you know, so you want to start. I just had that experience in Las Vegas. I was doing a speech in Las Vegas about a month ago, and they put me on this big stage, and there were like 250 people in the room. And so I spent my time, I had a flip chart there, so I used the flip chart because I wanted to have some physical thing that they could look at that give them a little break from my, you know, 60-minute talk, and then I was walking back and forth across the stage. So I didn't stay in one spot. You want to use the space around you. And make sure you're making eye contact. When you avoid making eye contact, people immediately, what's the first judgment they come to? You're dishonest. Isn't that funny? You don't make eye contact, they'll believe you're dishonest. So, and you want everybody to believe everything you say. You want them to look at you and say, wow, this is somebody I want to work with, right? Because I really trust this person. So trust is important. So that's all your nonverbal communication. So adopt that, learn those things and the skill set. Number two, over-communicate just to communicate. And this was intriguing to me. I hadn't read this. There was a Stanford University study that was done. It's called actually The Tappers and Listeners. And it said they played all these songs and all that kind of stuff for people to remember, and only 2.5% of the songs were correctly identified to the audience. So it really came out and said audiences truly absorb a lot less than you expect. So what does that mean in terms of our presentations? We need to start off with maybe some three main points to make. And we need to reiterate them midway through. We need to capture them at the end of the talk. So you want to be repetitive in some of the things you say. You know, we can talk about being an intellectual and getting up there and really, you know, showing everybody all that we know. But the problem with that is if you don't bring it down to their understanding level at some way, shape, or form, they're not going to grasp it. So we're going to lose people. So what do we need to do? We need to start off with basically a summary of where we're going. We have to put that maybe in the middle and then conclude with the same thing and carry those threads throughout, reiterating them so that people truly absorb it. And don't feel like you're being repetitive. I know for me that's the way it sounds because I like to build into a big crescendo. But the idea is that, you know, we need to continuously repeat things throughout so that people grasp them. Number three, avoid relying on visual aids. This was another one that was intriguing to me. Steve Jobs outlawed PowerPoints, and Sheryl Sandberg instituted a PowerPoint ban at Facebook. So what they were saying that when all you do is show pictures the whole time and doing PowerPoint, people get caught up and they don't listen to what you're saying. They're going to be more involved in the pictures and the things that you're showing versus what you're actually communicating. So they're saying use words and compelling storytelling and nonverbal cues to communicate your point with the audience. So you have multiple ways of communication. Is it okay to have some visual aids? Yes, but not make your presentation all visual aids. That doesn't work. So if you're going to go out and show something, we're talking right now, I'm working with Manitech on building a sizzle video. That's like 5 minutes. So if you're going to do a 15-minute presentation or 20-minute presentation to somebody, you might interject a 5-minute sizzle, right? It's to help you get it started. Or it might be something that you send out to intrigue somebody. But visual aids only there if they're absolutely necessary. Otherwise, come from your heart, come from your own words. And remember when we talked about compelling storytelling, What did we learn from Eric Worre? Remember when he came to Manifest a couple years back and he taught us how to tell your story? How many of you can remember that? How many can remember what are the four parts to your story? Well, let me just bring that up one more time, because if you're not using it, you need to go back and figure that out. Number one was where I was. Number two, what I didn't like about where I was. Number three, solution you found. And number four, how you now feel about your future. Those are your four steps to your story. Very, very powerful. And what's the one that stays the most with the audience? Number two, what you didn't like the most. People will remember that more than anything else because people relate to emotions, and that's where your pain sits. That's your pain. Okay, so anyway, so get your story down, and it should be, what, 3 minutes, 5 minutes max? I mean, it's got to be quick. You don't want to be out there spending 15 minutes telling your story or any other story per se. Some of us like to go on and on. I know I was that way when I started Manatech. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would get started talking, and then I would have to say, I'm sorry. I think I've just taken over the whole conversation without coming up for breath, you know, till I realize I can cut this really short and be more concise. They don't need to know everything, right? Right? There's key points. Yeah. So anyway, so you want to make sure you get your storytelling great and down on that. Okay, number four, ask for honest feedback. Always. I love that. Now, here, first of all, I've done enough personal development work and done counseling and coaching with people to understand that there are a lot of people in this world that hate criticism. And the problem with that is none of us probably like to be criticized, but it's not a criticism. I want you to look at feedback as helpful hints on how you potentially can be better. Now, notice the word potentially, because you're going to solicit feedback, and you're going to hear people say, because feedback typically is not just how great you were or how bad you were, right? It can go either way. So when you get some feedback from somebody that isn't very complimentary to you, what you do instead of getting irritated at the person, you want to dig deep and go, wow, why did they feel that way? You know, I went through an experience like that one time at a Clemmer event where we had feedback arcs, and people were saying, well, I didn't feel that you were honest. I didn't feel you could this. Da, da, da. And I was like, wow. And so I could have gotten really irritated with those people because everything I told them was perfectly honest. But when I sat back and started thinking about why, instead of getting angry at them, my initial emotional response for somebody calling me dishonest, I sat back and I said, Mary Jo, this is just a feedback arc. This is just their perception of, so how am I saying it? What is my beingness? How can I say it differently so that people don't respond to me that way? Do you notice how I could take false feedback? In other words, what they were giving me wasn't truth in terms of me being as honest. But if that's how I'm being perceived, is it not helpful for me to understand how people are perceiving what I'm saying, so that I can say it differently to be more effective? You see how great that is? So the idea of feedback is awesome because it's hard for us to judge ourselves and see ourselves. We just go out there and tell stories and talk about things, and we think people are going to totally find us credible and believe everything we say, and we're just telling it. And you know, everybody has different takes on us. And if we're too powerful and our life was too perfect, maybe we got to throw something sloppy in there. So I started talking about some things in my life that weren't the greatest. I would add that in my life story instead. And now people related to me more because they don't want to hear about a perfect life. They want to hear about other people's trials and how you overcame them. That makes them help them to see that their life isn't so bad and maybe they can overcome as well. So feedback, get feedback. And a lot of the feedback you get could be perfectly targeted, and they're perfectly right on, things that you hadn't seen before, that you needed to be the best you can be. So look at feedback as always something you absolutely want in your life. So five, engage the audience in discussion. All audiences have limited attention spans, so you don't want to lose them. And if you get them involved in your presentation, that's a great way. I like to, when I'm on stage and I'm doing a presentation, I like to get people and say, if I'm at a convention or something, I might kick off my whole talk with going, okay, so how many of you have learned something in the last day that you've been here? And they all raise their hand. I said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Just to kick off, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you, pair up in twos, and share the most impactful thing that you learned today, during the convention. And then that for 1 minute, you share, and then give the person you're talking to 1 minute to share their most impactful point. Okay, go. And I set them off. Now, does that have anything to do with my talk? No, but it gets them engaged in thinking about what really impacted their lives. And I'm about to do a presentation on impacting their lives even more. So there is a relationship to what I'm doing based on what I have them doing. Plus, it gets them in a mode of thinking about content and all of that. And I take it one step further by my next comment would be something like, okay, so now how many of you know exactly how that's going to change your life? What impacted you the most? And most people can't raise their hands. And I go, wow, how many of us have learned massive numbers of great information that we could share with other people because we saw this great information, but we had no clue how it was going to impact our life. So guess what? It never did impact our life. Can anyone relate to that? The whole audience, right? So you see how you can tie it into whatever your talk might be on as well. But you like to get engage the audience. They like to be engaged because no audience likes to sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes listening. So great hypothetical questions you can ask, all those kind of things. Keep them engaged. Number six, start and end with key points. Critical. This gets back to, again, that they have minimal attention span, and they're not really going to hear, absorb all the things you have. So start at the beginning. You're going to introduce, you tell something funny, get the people engaged, and then you can go right into why you're there, what are your key points, da-da-da-da. In the middle of your talk, you might throw them in again, and at the end of the talk, you close with them. So start and finish for sure, and depending on length of the talk, you may want to interject them in the middle as well so that they hear it like three times for them to absorb it. You can also hand a one-pager out at events that you're talking, if you're a small group or whatever, if you want to do that. Probably not appropriate necessarily in a Manotech, but you might hand some Manotech materials to them to let them see it for themselves, or send them to a website, or send them to a link for a video or an audio so they can have something that's, again, supports what you tell them. Number seven, use the PIP approach. That is purpose, importance, and preview. In other words, start by stating the purpose of your talk. Why are you even here? That doesn't mean the first sentence, so you could do that engagement part first and then go into, why are you here? What do you do? And why are you here? The why is really important. People want to know why you're in front of them. If they don't get your goal or your driven or what your purpose is, they probably won't listen much to you. So making sure that they know your why. And I like to do that with Manotech when I talk about Manotech. I like to tell people, because I share my story and I go, here's my why. This is my why. Why is somebody that could go out there and hang a shingle out and make, you know, $250,000, $300,000 a year without even batting an eye doing network marketing today? Why? Here's why. You know, and you talk about it. Come from what that is. And each of us are different, but, you know, my why. Why am I doing this? And I could talk about the impact that it had on my family and my dad, and there was nothing that was going to stop me. Sometimes we're called in a direction to do something. It's like a football coming out of left field. It just hits us in the head, and we never saw it coming. That's what happened to me. So whatever your story, that gets back to, again, your story, right? Purpose of my talk, the why the presentation is important, you know, what are the implications and possible outcomes? When you talk about Manotech, there's incredible. We can look at today, implications are, look at the people today. 55% of Americans are struggling just to make ends meet today. 55%. What are the possible outcomes? Oh my gosh, financial security? Hello? Words that people don't use in their vocabulary anymore because it's so hard to find. And we have a resource to find that. Help them focus on your message and take those few takeaways away, right? What are the few key takeaways? Have that really clear in your presentation style. And we should, then you can ask, well, Mary Jo, how do you know whether to talk about the business or the products? I let them tell me what's important to them. I listen to what their concerns are in their lives. Because if I become a great listener, which is absolutely crucial in any communication, in fact, I think it's the most important part of communication we have is just our listening skills. If you become a great listener, oh my gosh, you'll change the world and a lot of people's world with it. But you got to get out there and you got to be listening to them. Because if you listen to them, they're going to tell you whether it's health or it's wealth, financial security, what it is for them. But I know one thing for sure. When 55% of Americans are having a tough time making ends meet today, financial security is huge on everybody's agenda. But again, health is really big as well. But let's go out there and make a difference. Number eight, record important presentations for posterity. You want to have a few recorded conversations. I have recorded conversations because presentations, because what's important to me is to be the best I can be. So when I can review recorded presentations, I can see where I faltered, perhaps where I could be more effective. I can switch and change around words, terminology, make key points in different places where they have more impact. So it's just a matter of self-improvement, constant self-improvement. And, you know, other people might ask you for speaking engagements, so you want to have something available so that you could send to them. Or if there's a time when you can't make a presentation to somebody and you have one that's already taped somewhere, you could say, hey, listen, I did this presentation. Why don't you take a peek at this? I have used Let's Go Natural. I know some of you 20 years ago. When did we put that out? Like 10, 15 years? It's been a long time. 10 years ago? 2008, we made Let's Go Natural. If I asked you all to raise your hand on this call, if you've ever seen it or used it, probably the majority of you have. That still is under demand, and it's still being used by many, many people. Let's Go Natural. And I made the video. Why? I made it because I wanted to help people do a presentation on what our four core products are, so they just get an idea. Today, I always have to premise it on, hey, man, this thing is really outdated, but... And, you know, I talked to Al Bala about it probably a year ago, last January. And we talked about putting together another Let's Go Natural because I said, this is what's so critical. If people had something to share that just dealt with our four core, what a blessing it would be. And that was such an impactful DVD. I mean, that when we put that together, that we, you know, we saw phenomenal growth. People are using it everywhere. South Africa, I mean, that was their key tool. They would go out and do presentations on why you want to be in network marketing because you want to have financial security. They talk all about the – and he goes, and if you want to know about one of the greatest breakthroughs in health, that will totally change your life, as what you heard some of the testimonials today, go to the back and pick up one of those DVDs called Let's Go Natural. And they did that. They sold it. I mean, Louis and Leonie used that thing all the time. I mean, endlessly, because they didn't want to teach products. They didn't want to get caught up in teaching products. They wanted somebody else to do that for them. Not a bad idea, right? But that's what we need to do. We need other avenues for that. So record your presentations. Master the art of timing, okay? That's another thing important in a presentation when you're talking to somebody. Is it time for me to get off this point and move on? Do I need to start a new topic? Know your audience. And that's part of that is being able to be a great reader of nonverbal communication, body language. When you see people starting to move or you know, kind of quitting, you know, looking down or things, you're losing them in your presentation. So number one thing I like to do is just start asking questions because that'll get them immediately back engaged, right? So start asking questions or start a new topic or shift to another direction. Or, you know, you can say, now we've talked about this. How about this? Have you ever heard of this? And you get them engaged. So make sure that you are watching the person you're presenting to. Getting to know your audience in it. Or no, I should say get the number 10 is get comfortable speaking contemporaneously. What's contemporaneously? On the spot. I mean, if somebody came up to you today and said, could you describe to me, what is this glyconutrient stuff all about? Would you feel very confident that you could concisely tell them about glyconutrient technology within 3 to 5 minutes max? And how would you start? What would be the middle? And what would you do at the end? See, this is the kind of presentation you need to have down pat. You need to, and it's not about memory. It's just really getting the key points and staying on structure. We know so much information that we just kind of start spewing and it goes all over the place and it's like, oh my gosh, and then new stuff comes out and you don't know where it fits in with the old stuff and you keep collecting your great-grandmother's story that you've been telling for 25 years. It's intriguing, but what are we really doing? We need to look at that and be able to just speak off the top of our head on topics that are relevant to what we're presenting people, right? So don't let it get boring. Do a physical exercise about it, you know, kind of look at what you're saying today and say, okay, how do I fine-tune it? We can always be better, right? And then we have a series of topics that we don't use word for word because what else do we want to know? We want to know if we're dealing with different personality quadrants, if it's somebody who's an analyst, they're going to want to know a lot more about the science. If it's somebody who is a supporter, they're going to want to know about M5M. And if it's somebody who is like a promoter, they're going to want to know about manifesting all the parties we have and all the great times and all the trips that we go on and how we've been all over the world without Manitech. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I look at I travel all the time. I've been all over the world. I've been to Australia, New Zealand, Singapore. I've been to Indonesia. I've been to Japan. I can go all over Europe. I'm not sure all that was with Manatech. I've been to South Africa. I've been to, Australia. And I've been to Hawaii numbers of times. I mean, Alaska cruises, Bahama, Bermuda, Mexico, numerous times, Acapulco. I mean, it's crazy. Hello, this is Manatech. This is the Manatech experience. But know how to be comfortable talking about that, right? And talking about, but you want to have it in a concise way that it comes out and makes some sense. So be ready, have some key points. And again, don't ramble, just a few key points, whatever it is. You know, you have maybe a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, depending on the position you're in, to be contemporaneous with it, but have it be great. Get to know your audience. When you're speaking in front of an audience, the most important thing you do is get to know your audience. Know what kind of person, what personality quadrant. If you're familiar with that, you'll be more, you can language specifically to them where they're going to really hear you better. It's kind of like the BANK program, B-A-N-K as well. That's personality quadrants. And so get information on their age and their interests. There's a big difference between presenting to a group of people in their 50s and 60s than there are to produce, doing presentations in front of Gen Z and Gen Y. I mean, it's A to Z differential, right? And what's the reason there? Knowing your audience, you're going to be better off being able to make your talk relevant to them, right? Number 12, add novelty to improve audience retention. Novelty. So novelty, what does that look like? Well, it can be crazy stuff. You can wear a costume or bring a mask up, or you can talk about, someone's story that's really off the charts. I like novelty to me in a lot of my presentation is, what's the newest thing I just heard on the news today? Well, did you guys hear today? What happened? People love current news. So if you can bring something in that's current, if you can bring something in that rocks their boat a little bit, statistics that they may not be aware of, and there's some great ones out there that really, really shock people's conscience, things like that. So or even something funny, bring humor to it. But really critical, he said, it's not about being excessively funny, right? But it's about do something that's different, that really talks about, gets into, some of us like to bring a picture of the blue balls on the cell surface, the Science magazine, and I always laugh about the blue balls because we know what that means, right? So you can crack a joke about it and then go on. But you have to catch them, because if you're just out there boring saying the same thing over and over again, it's not going to work for you. And how many people can raise their hand and say, Mary Jo, I'm a testament to that. Right. So what are you going to do that's a novelty in your presentation? Find something. If you don't have an idea for it, talk to your upline or talk to your crossline or find somebody who will do some coaching with you on it. But you want to have something novel, especially with this new generation. They are not about to get involved with somebody that gives them a boring presentation that's just all about science and blah, 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 right? Focus on earning respect instead of getting laughs. You want to come across as somebody knowledgeable. You want them to be able to look at you and go, you know what, I really love working with this lady. I think she could really help me out. Or I really think she has a lot of good stuff to say, and I think this could change my life. And I want to pursue it more. Not you want to say, oh, my gosh, was she entertaining? Oh, she could be on stage. She ought to be in Hollywood. But I don't want her as a business partner. That's not the conclusion you want to give. So a little bit of humor is okay, a little bit. But stay serious. Make sure they understand that you have knowledge and you have connections that have the knowledge. You don't have to be a know-it-all. You just have to be able to say, hey, listen, a friend of mine approached me. This is what they told me about it. I did a little bit of research. I'm definitely not a scientist, but here's what happened to me. And tell your story and talk about why you're committed to it. That's what they need to hear. Remember your story, what my life was like before, what I found, or what I didn't like about it, what I found out, and where I'm going today, right? And that's it. That doesn't take a lot. You don't have to be any super glycobiologist who graduated from med school. That's not what you need to do. Number 14, be a great listener. We talked about that. Nothing could be more important. I know it's number 14 on the list, and it wasn't the article, but I'll tell you, if it were up to me, I'd put that as number one. Great listening skills will get you more in life than any other thing that you have in terms of skill sets around presentations, because to be responsive to your audience, you've got to be a great listener. You got to hear where they're at. You got to understand who they are. You got to see what their needs are, locate them. And it's about, you know, Carol McCall is like the supreme listener in the world. Her goal was to create 1 million great listeners around the world before she died. That was her goal. Talk about a heart of contribution. She's got a great tape set, books out there. But, you know, you can go out there and learn. Be with listening is what I'm most familiar with in terms of language about what listening skills are. Be with listening is a concept of you are there to hear. We so many times listen from a perspective, do we agree or do we disagree? And I was the same way for years and years and years, especially as a lawyer. Oh, my gosh, all we wanted to do was get in arguments, right? I mean, we're taught to be professional argument makers and good at it, you know, to be professional in disagreeing with people. So we were very disagreeable people. That's what we're trained to do. So it was incredible to go and learn all about listening skills and be with listening. And it really is, be with is totally wiping out a clean slate. It's opening your brain up to just hear what they have to say. And if you disagree with something they say, you don't have an argument with them. You just go, wow, I heard you say this. Could you tell me how you came to that conclusion? And just pursue it. Because you know what? They may teach you something. And that's what I always tell everybody on the face of the earth. I said, you know, there are not two identical people on the face of this earth. Each one of us has grown up in a different, we had different parents, different place we grew up, different education, different experiences through that education, different college, if the college at all, some didn't even graduate from high school, post-college graduate work, some didn't have any of that either, what kind of job experiences we had, what we went through, our relationships with, you know, significant others, did we have children, no children, did we adopt children, did we raise stepchildren, did we move across the country, did we live in multiple places? We all have unique experiences in our lives, and it's that uniqueness of all that experiences that formed our current understanding of life. Now, because somebody had different experiences than you, does that make them wrong and you right? And see, therein lies our basic inner problem in our lives. We've accumulated all this information and data, and so we think we're right about life. The problem is, we're just one in zillions of people. And when people have different experiences, they draw different conclusions. Is one right and one wrong? No. In 99% of the times, it's not about right and wrong. It's just what are the different experiences in your life that shaped you into being who you are as a person. So that opens up the door to me to always be a great listener, because everyone on the face of the earth has something to teach me about life. So I'm open and willing to hear. So be a great listener. And with Manatech, really critical, because when we're out there and we're trying to market something, if we don't listen to their person, we're never going to meet their perceived needs. And here I'll tell you this for a fact, perceived needs are more important than actual needs. Because if they perceive they need something and you have a solution for that, they're going to buy it. Now you want to go, but Mary Jo, they're not right and they need this and I need to educate them and I need it. Well, you can do that down the road, but start off with where their perceived need is. Listen to them. Be responsive to their needs. As you build a relationship and you go down the road, guess what? You're going to soon get them on 3 other products, or you're going to get them start doing the business or whatever. But up front, it's about them. You're not there to hammer them to death. You're there to listen to them and fulfill their needs. Okay, that's it. 14 ways to improve your communication. Wow, if you can do that, you guys are all going to be experts in network marketing. But I just want to conclude with one more, you know, blast out there that, you know, we have got some great events coming up with becoming a member of our Achievers Club, the incredible Manifest 25th anniversary coming up. You've got the Skinny Jeans promo. You've got a lot of action going on in Manatech. Take advantage of it. It's what really helps you grow your business. And I'm excited about seeing all of you at Manifest. I'm really looking forward to that. But even more so, I'm looking forward to seeing all of you in Costa Rica. in 2019. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. And how exciting is that going to be? I told Manatech, I said, you know, I think you're going to need a couple of different, you know, million-dollar buckets to fulfill all the winners' needs on that trip, because we are going to have so many people going to Costa Rica for this trip. And I'm so excited about it. I hope you are too. All right, everybody, any last-minute comments, questions? Anyone? Did this help you in any way?
Yes, Mary Jo, thank you.
You bet.
Look forward All right. to seeing you tomorrow night.
You bet. See you Tuesday Night Live. Amen. Love to be there. Okay, everyone, go out and have a great day. Put those goals in place. Put your plans in place. Let's make this happen. Let's get out there. Achievers number one, manifest, Costa Rica. Yikes, a lot on my platter. But you know what? All of that together, it's about what? Just going out and sharing Manatech with people, getting people involved, getting them signed up, and making it happen. And watch what happens. Your bottom line starts growing, right?
Mary Jo, I have a question.
Yep, go ahead. Question, I heard.
Just in regards to the tax laws, are they applicable to Canadian tax laws at all?
Like no. You know what? People have asked me about Canada, and I am just not familiar with the Canadian tax laws. So for me to give advice around that would be really stretching myself a lot. Sorry. I wish I could do that.
Worry.
I wish I could morph into Canadian for a day and do that for you.
Mary Jo, awesome.
Yeah? Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the call. The information is really great. Does a person need a passport, I imagine, to go to Costa Rica?
Yes, you would need a passport for Costa Rica. Yeah, very simple process.
Thank you.
Yep. But I love the question. Woo, you guys are all in. I love that. Okay, anyone else? And you know what? You all should go out and get a passport anyway, because you know what? If you want to travel the world, step number one is believing you're going to do it. Step number two is going out and getting a passport so you are all ready to go, okay? So that should be absolutely what you do. It's fun to go out there and travel the world. All right, everybody. Love you guys. Have a great week. Talk soon. Oh, wait. Do we want to mention next Monday? Oh, we might be taping the call for next Monday because we're going to be out of town, but I'll give you a heads up on that before it comes around. Okay. Bye, everyone.